Good morning, good morning. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned for another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message from God's Word. Let me give you this little announcement, if you will. We here at the Radio Missions, we have Radio Bible and Book Room, where we have good, sound gospel books from the old Puritans back there in the days of Spurgeon and Bonar and Whitfield. And we have a catalog we just put out. And we have good Bibles and all of those things that anyone who loves the Lord, who knows the Lord, probably would like to have. So you write us and we'll send you a copy of our catalog. Just ask for the catalog on the bookstore if you would. In our last study, we gave you a study from God's Word on the foundation of the throne of God's grace. We saw first that there is a throne of grace. Isn't that a blessing thought this morning, that there's a throne of grace? We know that there's a judgment seat, don't we? We know that there one day a great white throne judgment, but there's also a throne of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ sits upon that throne or occupies that throne of grace. The pavement there, the way to that throne is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That throne is a mercy seat for all who will come. Have you ever come to that mercy seat begging for mercy? We found that the rainbow of mercy encircles that throne. Yes, we saw there those things that are included in the rainbow of mercy. We saw the forgiveness of sin, pardon of iniquity, imputed righteousness, justification, redemption, adoption, and then sanctification. Have you sat and marveled at those things, my friend? But listen now, this morning we want to visit the throne of God's grace. Just visit the throne of grace. Have you ever been there? Yes, I believe every born-again believer has. I believe that's where we live, at the throne of God's grace. But you say, how can you come? Come empty-handed. Listen, come empty-handed. Let's go to that throne this morning, if you would, in our study. In our visit to the throne of grace, we want to first notice some of the things that we do not find there. That we do not find there now. First, we hear no thunderings of the law. No. We don't hear any thunderings of this law of Mount Sinai. We don't see the smoke of judgment. No. There's no accusations of the law there at the mercy seat because the law has been fully satisfied. Now, my friend, if you want something to chew on all day today, believer, you want something to bless your heart throughout the day today, no matter how burdened down you are with your work or your troubles or your bills past due. But listen, the throne of God's grace, there's no thunderings of the law. There's no accusation to the law because the law has been satisfied. You know what the law said? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But that's been satisfied. The justice and justice has been quieted by one who sits on the throne. That's his throne. That's the throne of grace. You go down to Mount Sinai and you'll hear the thunderings of the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. When you'll hear the thunderings of the wrath rolling, yes. Man trembles and quakes and wants to flee because he's afraid and he cannot stand before the perfect law of God. No man can stand. I'm amazed at these folks, or amused many times at these folks who tell me they can keep the law. I have folks tell me that they haven't sinned in 40 years. Well, what about before those 40 years? Have you ever thought about that? No, my friend. God's law has been done away with for the believer. That's right. Man trembles and quakes because he's afraid. But when you come to the throne of grace, when you come there to Mount Zion where the skies are clear, there's no more murmuring against a sinner because God's word says in Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. You see, he who sits on that throne bore all the curse of the law. He did. He bore that curse. Have you gone back lately and read of the crucifixion of our Lord there in the four Gospels? Would you just do something that would bless your heart in the next day or two when you have time in your Bible study or there in your quiet time when you get up early in the morning and read your Bible? I hope you do. Would you take the four Gospels, take one a day maybe, and read the story beginning there in the Garden of Gethsemane? Read, starting right there in the garden, how our Lord suffered. How he drank the cup. Oh, my friend, would you go on reading how he went before Pilate's court? went there to OK Office's court, and then was eventually carried out, made to carry his own cross out to Golgotha's hill, and then he was nailed to that cross. Would you just read those things carefully? There is where the curse of the law was paid, my friend. He who sits on the throne bore all of the curse. He became our legal, lawful, divine substitute. Never a sinner coming to the throne of grace has ever heard one murmur, one complaint, one accusation against him, because Christ said, I came not to condemn the sinner, but to save the sinner. Now that's shouting ground this morning. Yes, I believe in shouting, my friend. Some of our old-fashioned folks used to shout. I don't remember seeing them, but they tell me the old Methodist folks used to shout. My grandmother was an old-time Methodist, and I don't know if she shouted or not, but they tell me she did. But if she come across this information, as it were, that all of her sins were paid in Christ, I believe she'd shout. Listen, folks, listen. He said, I came not to condemn. That's what he told the woman there in the 8th chapter of John. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man accused thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go in peace. Have you heard those words whispered to your heart, sinner, in the still small voice there? Have you heard that? Go in peace. Sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. I have. I've heard those words. I've heard that word where there's no more condemnation. Listen, therefore, Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now, at this present hour, at this present moment here, as I sit here in the studio making this tape, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, Christ said, neither do I condemn thee. Go in peace. Now, the reason some of you awakened sinners won't come to the throne of grace is because you don't believe God's word. I tell my folks here in the tabernacle, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, why they're not saved, because they don't believe God's word. Did you know you have to believe God's word before you can ever be saved? You can ridicule God's word like the skeptics do now and go on to hell for your trouble. These folks who are whittling God's word to pieces, they don't know anything about the Lord. No, they're Satan's emissaries, whittling away God's message, whittling away God's Bible. They'll just have to go on to hell for their trouble. That's where they'll meet their just dues, my friend. But folks here won't believe God's word. No, you don't believe that the Lord Jesus died for sinners. But listen what you'll do. You believe Satan's lie. Some of you, to some of you, he'll tell you, oh, you're good enough. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to go to Christ. You don't have to come to Christ. Your salvation is not dependent upon that. Your goodness and righteousness is all right. But listen, that's a lie. Others he will lie to and say, oh, listen, bowed down sinner, you're just too wicked to be saved. God won't forgive you. Christ won't accept you. To others he'll say, listen, you got plenty of time, my friend. You young yet. You young folks here at the services, wherever you hear the message, you got plenty of time. Go on, partake of your sin. Go on, partake. Have some fun. Have a good time. That old preacher, he don't know anything about it. He don't know. You're just too young to tie yourself down to some religion, my friend. I don't offer you religion. I'm bringing you thus saith the Lord. But listen, young folks, do you know when your time's coming? You may not live. You may not live to turn to the Lord later on. Oh, I wouldn't bank on a long life, my friend. Oh, I know that there's pleasure in sin. I know that there's pleasure out there, but it's going to have to be paid for. Did you know there'll be a payday someday? There will. Every sin has to be paid for, either in your body or in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross. And listen, if Satan tells you got plenty of time, why worry about it? But I tell you just the opposite. You don't have any time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised, my friend. You don't have no promise of tomorrow. When you lay down tonight on your bed, you may never wake up. Three heartbeats and you're in hell, my friend. Listen. Did you know where death finds you? Eternity's going to hold you? Awakened sinner, let me tell you something else now about this throne. There's no quarreling there with the sinner. No, all of that's gone, my friend. Why should the Lord God of heaven quarrel with you when he invites you to come? He don't allow you to come and then argue with you that you're not fit. No, that's no such a thing. You don't quarrel with your neighbor when you give him an invitation to come visit you, do you? Fuss at him for coming? No, no. So God does not quarrel with you when you come to the throne of God's grace. Now, I want to make that statement so vividly, pointedly, my friend, that God does not quarrel with a sinner who comes to his throne. Oh, I know folks who are so bowed down under the load and weight of sin. The Lord has showed them their heart. The Holy Spirit has. And now Satan slips up and says, you're just too wicked. You're just too wicked. But do you know who Christ died for? Wicked sinners. Christ said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost this morning? Are you lost? Mother there in the kitchen cooking breakfast, are you lost this morning? Have you ever seen yourself lost? You say, oh, no, I belong to first such and such a church. Well, that doesn't mean a thing, my friend. I didn't ask you if you was a church member. I asked you, do you know the Lord? Has your sins been forgiven? Have you just made a decision for Jesus? Have you joined a church under some high-powered preacher's influence? Listen, my friend. I heard someone say that they were at a church one night during a revival, and they sang Why Not Tonight 26 verses before some poor soul got up and went down to the front and made a profession. And later on, he said he did it so the preacher would dismiss the service. Now, my friend, that's what's happening all over this nation. I don't give you an invitation to come to church. I give you an invitation to turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord before it's too late. My friend, we have a little booklet here the pastor wrote. Turn or burn. I wish you'd write me. I'll send it to you. Write me and ask me for it. Say, Trailblazer, send me that little book by the late pastor on turn or burn. It'll be an eye-opener to you, my friend. Did you know you're going to turn or burn? If you never turn to the Lord, you're going to burn in hell. You say, well, I don't like to hear that kind of preaching, but that's the truth. That the Bible tells me to preach the gospel, and that's the gospel, my friend. Lest you be saved, you'll be forever lost. No, but listen, the Lord doesn't quarrel with you. No, he doesn't do that. No, he says, I've been satisfied. The law's been satisfied. Come on, sinner, come on. The law has to stand aside. It says, I find nothing in you to condemn you, for Christ died for you. The law became our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law says, quit your doing. Everything has been done. That's what the law says. Look yonder to the throne of God's grace. Look there to him who sits on that throne. Do you see those scars? Do you see the scars in the hands, in the nail prints, in the hands of our blessed Lord? That's why. That's evidence that he died. You want an evidence? You want to know that Christ died? Then look there to the scars in his hand. Look there at his blessed side where the spear, the Roman soldier, cast a spear there, and out came blood and water. Look there on his brow, that blessed brow, where they pressed down the thorn crown. Oh, the crown of thorns there, my friend, platted. Some evil-hearted man like you and I platted those crowns, that crown, and pressed it down upon that hallowed brow, and the blood trickled down upon his beautiful face. Then look there at his feet where the spike nails were driven there. Oh, my friend, look at his back where the lashes from the Romans, the whip, took the meat out of his back. They said his visage was marred, the Bible does, to where he wasn't even like a man, my friend. Would you read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah? Get a picture of what our Lord suffered there on the cross, my friend. Oh, if you only knew. But now he's risen from the grave. Now he's ascended back to heaven. Now he sits upon the throne of God's grace. That's what God's purpose was in sending his son here to die. He never came here for any other purpose except to die, to shed his precious blood, to become the substitute for a poor old wretch like I am, poor old worm, poor old sinner like I am. And then that's what he did for me. This is the old Trailblazer bringing the message to a close this morning. I wish you'd listen, my friend. I wish you'd ask the Lord to open your heart. Don't kick against the prick. Don't go off on a tangent, my friend. Are you a child of God this morning? Could I just press that home to your heart in our closing moment? This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. Remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis saying, goodbye and God bless you.